I'd like to learn together B'siyata D'Shmaya of Yismach Yisrael and Parshas Devarim. It appears on page 67 to page 68. And the Yismach Yisrael describes the importance of attaching ourselves to tzaddikim, being connected to people who are bigger than ourselves, specifically Moshe Rabbeinu. Eila ha'dvarim asher dibar Moshe al kol Yisrael. These are the words that Moshe spoke to the entirety of the Jewish people, as Rashi comments at the beginning of the Parsha. Ilo hochiach miktsason, hayu eilu shabashuk omrim, Atem ayisim shoymim ben amram v'lo yeshivosim davar mikach v'kach v'kach kinsam kulam v'chulu kol mi sheyesh lo tshuva yashiv. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered together all of Klal Yisrael, as Rashi explains, lest someone who's in the marketplace say, you heard this from ben Amram, you heard this rebuke, you heard this criticism from ben Amram, very scornful way to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu, and you didn't respond. So Moshe therefore was wise, and he gathered everyone together and said, listen, if you have something to say, I'm ready to hear it. And obviously no one had anything to respond. They were mekabel the tochacha from the Rebbe and the Gadol Hador. Mashma medivrei Rashi Zal, says the Yismach Yisrael, the implication of Rashi is, shalo haya lehem ma lahashiv al tochachaso lomer lochatanu, that they stood before Moshe, they heard the rebuke, and there was in fact nothing to respond. And that seems to be the point that Rashi's making. The problem is that if you look in the Medrash says on the pasuk Yosef aleichem kachem, the Medrash seems to imply that they were worthy of such a bracha, that they were, in fact, truly innocent. They could have responded, Moshe, we don't have any of the averos that you're describing. But they were makabel the tochacha nonetheless. But the implication of the Medrash is that, in fact, if they would have responded, it would have been a legitimate response. So what in fact was the reality? Were Klal Yisrael guilty of the things that Moshe rebuked them for? Or in fact, were they entirely innocent? So he begins by quoting, Gubir ha'inyin k'masha kosev, quote, Kedushas Adonia viza keni zatzal. He quotes from his grandfather, Shiyadua shiyesh ba'odam v'achshava dibur u'maisa. Very deep yesod. We know that within a person, life operates in three different planes. In the world of machshava, thought, dibur, speech, masa, and action. And in the realm of machshava, there are two aspects to machshava. Uv machshava yeshne bechinos, v'hu machshava shaloba adayin l'espashtus. There's the kernel of a thought, of an idea that has yet to express itself, yet to expand itself. That's what we call chachma, as the Svarim explain, koachma, the potential for something, an unrefined idea that has yet to be expressed. Di'ihu b'mocha, it resides in the mind, shaloba adayin l'espashtus, raknafel v'hisnotzeis karega hihor b'mocha v'nestalka. It's a flash of inspiration, it's that light bulb effect, it's that momentary moment of hisoris that seems to pass through one's mind and disappear almost as quickly as it arrived. And as soon as it emerges, the second that it begins to exist, it already disappears before it could take on a more full form. That's the type of machshava that we call chachma. But there's a second type of machshava that expands itself, that expresses itself, that has a fuller form, and that's called bina. It's taking that which is in a state of concealment, again the idea before it has expression, and giving it expression. To be maven davar mitoch davar, as Chazal explained the concept of bina, to be able to extract something from it. Ki bina hi giloi hachach giloi de chachma. Bina is the revelation of chachma. And these two tracks, if you will, within the world of, in the world and the realm of machshava, these two tracks called chachma and bina, exist within every person, both positively and negatively. God forbid. The positive aspect, obviously, is when a person has a fleeting moment, a fleeting thought of positivity, of tshuva. I want to be better. And then immediately it disappears. Maybe it disappears because of a fear of change. Maybe it disappears because of an uncertainty of how one can change. Right? But for whatever it is, there's a moment of hisoros. I want to be a better person. I want to change my ways. I want to be closer to Hashem. And that moment of kedusha, that moment of tshuva, departs again as quickly as it came. Shalohotzi osam in a helam el espashtas v'apala, where a person doesn't act upon it. But it's still a maila, the fact that he had a fleeting thought, I want to be a tzaddik, I want to be a talmid chacham, I want to be a good Jew, I want to get to davening on time, I want to stop speaking lashon hara, I want to be a shomer habris, whatever it is, that moment of hisorus is a positive moment of chachma. bulara, and in the negative sense. Kishenafo chas v'shalom eize hiro machshava ra v'nevda kerega miblish and iskar aleh lasos tshuva. The opposite is also true. Sometimes a person has a momentary thought, an unholy thought, a negative thought, a destructive thought, and it leaves very quickly. And often when we have that fleeting thought of negativity, we don't feel that we've done anything so terrible. We pushed it out of our mind after all. Maybe that itself was an act of tshuva. But the truth is we still thought about it, if only for a second. And therefore we often give ourselves a pass and say, you know what, it was just a fleeting thought. I don't have to do anything to majorly correct it. After all, it's not like I said it. It's not like I acted upon it. The problem is, though, that a person does need to do tshuva for those things, and a person does need to capture the positive hirhurim and turn them into something more. And the way that we do that is by coming to the tzaddik. When we attach ourselves to a tzaddik amiti, to a person who's bigger and greater than ourselves, so then we're able to turn those fleeting machshavos into something more, because the tzaddik has the ability to appreciate those small moments in life and gives a certain depth and understanding to those moments and teaches us how to make something more out of those moments. When one attaches himself truly to a tzaddik who's a righteous person, be'emes, a tahor, a tzaddik amiti, ha-tzaddik ma'ila usan machshavos v'yirhurim she'esnotzu karega v'mocho v'nistalkula espashos v'agila kadei she'yargish behem. The tzaddik has the ability to grab on to those fleeting moments, to grab on to those bursts of inspiration, and to be able to help you to develop them, and to feel something deep with them, that it shouldn't be, again, just a moment in time. Shiyucho lasos tshuva l'machshavos raos, ulhotzi mikoach halapoa machshavos kadoshos, asher esnotzu karega b'mocho, top of the left column. To be able to take those moments of negative thought and to say, you know what, the fact that I even had such a thought for a moment, that needs tikkun. And the fact that I had a positive hope and I let go of it so quickly, the tzaddik says, don't let go of it so quickly. That was a good idea. That moment of hisoris that you had, grab it, do something with it. The tzaddik teaches us how to recognize the significance of those fleeting thoughts. Ukamokin ba'aveiro shochicha Moshe. So the same thing is true when Moshe begins Chumash Devarim by rebuking Klal Yisrael in his very subtle and cryptic way, as Rashi describes. Oso ador lo asu chas v'shalom ha'aveiros b'pol k'mavur b'medrash. That generation was not the ones who did many of the aveiros that are being described or hinted to by Moshe Rabbeinu here in this moment. These are the more innocent people. These are the survivors of the 38 years of dying out in the wilderness. Rakiru machshava b'mocha. But they maybe also had a hiu hara. Maybe the fact that they thought back upon those who came before them, they contemplated those aveiros, even if they never did those aveiros. V'lon espashta machshava klal v'nevda mehem miblish shergish machshava samra u'pegam hiu hara. And those thoughts quickly left. And people assumed, you know, the fact that I thought about it, the fact that I knew about it, that's not the worst crime in the world. It's not the biggest aveir in the world. And those aveiros, which they themselves did not consider aveiros, were known to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe, see, when you come to the tzaddik has the ability to what? To iron out some of the more nuanced expressions of Avodas Hashem. A person who has what he would call a small avera. It doesn't really matter. It does matter. The tzaddik says it does matter. And when a person has a hirhur of tshuva, of kedusha, and a person says, yeah, but I'm not a kadosh, I'm not a tzaddik, I'm not a tahor, I'm not an emistic bal tshuva, the tzaddik says, but you are. The fact that you had that thought, let's do something with it. The tzaddik gives, again, expression to those finer points of the soul. So in answer to the conflicting midrashim, were Klal Yisrael guilty or were they innocent? The answer is as follows. That until Klal Yisrael attached themselves to the Tzaddik Ador Moshe Rabbeinu, Shu Rabban Shal Yisrael, Lo Hirgishu Ba'atzon B'Shum Nidnut Chet. Until you're in the presence, if you hang out with low people, unfortunately you see this to be true. We all know this from our life's experience. When you hang out with people who are unrefined people, so the fact that they do very unholy things, we sometimes pat ourselves on the back and say, well, at least I don't do that. And therefore we have this almost self-righteous understanding that I'm not as bad as so-and-so. And that's a very bad way to assess one's growth in Avodas Hashem. So until Klal Yisrael attached themselves to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was easy for them to say, listen, we thought about some of the chatam that the other people did, but we didn't actually do it. And therefore they didn't feel a sense of obligation to do tshuva for those hirhurim ra'im. So therefore, Ma'asa Moshe, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe gathered them together. Moshe brought them before himself. The Tzadik Hadur, just looking at Moshe, was an awesome experience. Come see what a real Jew looks like. Come see what a real Torah Jew looks like. How a tzaddik is in control not only of his actions and his speech, but even his thoughts. Moshe showed them that those thoughts, which you thought were hidden thoughts, I know about them, and they matter. That they should recognize the significance, again, of these very fine, these very fine, you know, unprocessed thoughts that just entered their mind, if only for a moment. Because if he didn't gather them together, what would happen? See, the pshat in the midrashim is, were they innocent or were they guilty? The answer is, if you're hanging out in the shuk, you're going to be innocent. It'll be easy to give yourself a pass on life and say, what do you mean? Look at the people in the shuk. I'm so much better than them. But if you attach yourself to tzaddikim amitim, you attach yourself to real people, to kedoshim and tahorim, so you start to see, wait a minute, there's a lot more I can actually grow. And the goal is not just to be the greatest amaretz amongst people who are bigger amaretzim, but the goal is to be a tzaddik among tzaddikim. And when I compare myself, or when I at least gain inspiration, and I see myself in the presence of a tzaddik, it makes me want to live differently. The things that, you know, in certain places I allow myself to do, I would never do it in the presence of the tzaddik. I would never even think about it in the presence of the tzaddik. That's just what happens when you're in the presence of tzaddikim. And anyone who's ever been to a tzaddik amiti knows that to be true. You act differently when you're in the presence of Adam Gadol B'Yisrael. So therefore, those in the marketplace, those who are not attached to Moshe, those who Moshe did not attach to himself, or not yet attached to himself, or had he not attached them to himself, they would have said, nah, we not. There's no Averos. Why? You let Ben Amram talk to you like that? You let Moshe Rabbeinu criticize you? We don't have any of those Averos. They would have not realized that thoughts also matter. And they wouldn't have been attached to Moshe Rabbeinu to even realize that there was more perfection to be sought. He didn't respond anything to Ben Amram. Look how they're even talking about Moshe. Look how a person in the shuk doesn't refer to him as Moshe Rabbeinu. Hatzadik, Hakadosh, Rabban Shal Yisrael, you just call him Ben Amram. What a scornful way to speak about Moshe Rabbeinu. Makusha to a certain tzaddik, and a wealthy gvir came over to him and said to him, you know, do you collect money for so and so? And he referred to the tzaddik just by his last name. And this person said, I do collect money for so and so, but I don't collect from you. Because anyone who refers to that tzaddik, you know, let's imagine the Rav's name is Kohn. And, right, you collect money for Kohn? He's not Kohn. He's a Rav Kohn Shlita. And if a person's going to speak like that, then we're not interested in thanks, but no thanks. We're not interested in your donation to support the causes of the tzaddik. If you don't understand that he's a tzaddik, if you're not a kusher in a deep way to what he stands for, then you could be a big gvir, but I'm not interested in your money. So look at the people in the shuk talk about Ben Amram. Who talks about Moshe Rabbeinu like that? That's the way a person in the street speaks. That's exactly the point. That those in the street didn't realize that what? That they themselves were guilty. From the perspective of the street, they were innocent. But when they stood in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe rebuked them, they weren't so quick to say, that's not us. We're not responsible for that. They understood in the presence of the tzaddik, yes, there's a lot of nuance in Avodas Hashem, and I can refine myself that much more. And that which, again, in a certain environment is not a big deal, in the presence of the tzaddik it becomes a big deal. But until they were brought before Moshe, they never thought that they were guilty. They thought they were entirely clean of any of the accusations that Moshe would list against them. And therefore they truly are worthy of bracha. They were very fine people. But again, there's always room to improve oneself. They could have said to Moshe, we didn't do those averos. But they didn't. You know why they didn't respond that way? Because on the one hand, they didn't do those averos. On the other hand, they understood with a spiritual maturity that a little bit we did those averos. The fact that we contemplated it is also an avera. Umemela lo hayu magishim b'chol achata me'ela, v'lo amru klum yesh banu minachatam shemanisa. So they didn't offer the excuse, we're not in violation of any of the sins that you listed against us. Rather, they attached themselves to Moshe wholeheartedly. They recognized, again, their Avera on a dako stick, on a very fine level. Because of that humility and that sincerity, they were in fact worthy of bracha. Ad kan, the words of my Halig grandfather. So says the Yismach Yisrael, turning the page to the top of page 68. This is the koach of Moshe Rabbeinu in every generation. What do I mean in every generation? Moshe is no longer alive. Even though there is a Gemara in Sota that says Moshe never died. Right? But what does it mean this is the koach of Moshe in every door? Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom hu la'olam rabban shel Yisrael. We still call him Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is he Rabbeinu? He's our teacher. You heard a shir from Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, I guess if you read the Torah, you heard a lot of shirim from Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe is Rabban Shel Yisrael. He always was and always will be. That's what's merumas in the Zohar Kaddish, when the Zohar says that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the Mashiach and the Gaol Tzedek Meher B'Yameinu. That Moshe is the Gaol Rishon, Moshe is the Gaol Achron, or as it says in Tikkuni Zohar, that Moshe is Rashi Tevos, the Pasuk in Koheles, Masha Haya Hu Shiyihya. Rashi Tevos Moshe, that which was, will be. Meaning Moshe spans the generations. And every Tzedek in every generation has an akuda, has a spark of the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu. Uvechol tzadik ador yesh nitzutz Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom bebechinas Moshe shapir ka'amrus. Like the Gemara says in Shabbos, I think it's in Sukkah and Chulin as well. Moshe, you're saying good. Why are the rabbis and the Gemara referring to each other as Moshe? Because the tzadikim in every generation have a nitzutz of Moshe Rabbeinu, have a little bit of the spark of the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'zeh perash ha-kosav yivarech yirei Hashem ha-ketanim im-ha-gadolim. From Halel, Yivarech yirei Hashem ha-ketanim im-ha-gadolim. What does it mean? Hainu shiru'uyin lebracha. We do deserve the bracha. You know why? B'shvil sha-ketanim be'enei atzam hei mechubarim la-tzadikim ha-gadolim b'yiras Hashem u'dvukim hei ma'imahem. You know why you deserve bracha? Because the ketanim attach themselves to gadolim. It's interesting, I'm just realizing now, you could also say the pshat is ketanim imagadolim, that things that are small, when you're not attached to the tzaddik, when you attach yourself to the tzaddik, those things in your life which are ketanim, both latov ulamutav, positive and negative, when you attach yourself to the tzaddik, the ketanim become gadolim. The small people become big people, but also the small things you do start to take on greater significance. And therefore, when they attach themselves to Moshe, b'yiras Hashem u'dvukim heim imahem, they deserve all the bracha in the world. And when you're attached to the Moshe Rabbeinu's, you're able to think differently. And you realize that my little fleeting thoughts of negativity also count and they also matter. In the final paragraph in the left-hand column, V'isa b'sefer charedim, the Sefer Charedim writes by the mitzvah of tshuva, an amazing idea. Shekol mi sherotze l'shuv b'tshuvo l'achzor l'mutav, a person who wants to change his ways. Ve'ein yecholes v'yado machmas yitzrol hamizgaber alav. And a person is struggling, saying, I don't have the natural means, my soul is not big enough to win this battle which I so badly want to win. You know what we do? You know what Hashem does? Shochen lo min ha-shamayim b'chinas ibur neshama nishmas tzaddik. Hashem sends a spark from a tzaddik, from an earlier generation, or maybe even from your own generation. Hashem impregnates, as it were, your neshama with the soul of the tzaddik, giving you the extra strength that you need to win that battle. Like a Rabban B'chayev, the tzaddik, he continues to help a person on track. The tzaddik's soul becomes infused with your soul, combined together to help you to achieve that tshuva that you desire. V'im chas v'shalom, listen to this amazing line. V'im chas v'shalom, meluch lach u'mushbal kol kach chas v'shalom, shenishmas ha-tzadik lo tawilo. If a person finds himself in such a low place that sending a regular, in quotes, regular tzaddik is not enough to help him, shochen lo nishmas Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom. Then a person who wants to do tshuva is infused with the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu, the ispashtus b'chol dar v'dara. Like it says in Tikkuni Zohar, that the ispashtus of Moshe Rabbeinu, the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu is felt b'chol dar v'dara. In every generation, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to help him. V'zeh sod ha'ibor, this is the secret of the concept of ibor. Ibor neshama again, meaning that your neshama becomes infused and impregnated, as it were, with the soul of the tzaddik. And that's the pshat he says in the pasuk in Devarim Paragimel. V'yis'aber Hashem bi lamanchem. Hashem yis'aber, the lashon of Ibor. Hashem took my neshama for you and gives it to you to help you to achieve your mission in this world. Every one of us has the ability to draw on the life and the inspiration and the teachings and the Kedusha and the Tara of Moshe Rabbeinu, that every Jew can tap into that in order to help us to come back to a life of Kedusha. So again, on the one hand, Klal Yisrael, it's classic Yismach Yisrael. On the one hand, these Malamit Zchus, the Averos that Moshe says they didn't really do. As the Medrash tells us, they deserve all the bracha in the world. But on another level, demanding that we always strive for something more, Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us, while you're certainly innocent on a certain level, but again, on a very fine level, there's room to improve, there's room to be more sensitive, even to, again, the nuanced expressions of positive or negative energy that a person gives off in this world. And Amir Tzashem, we should recognize the importance of attaching ourselves to tzaddikim, being connected to tzaddikim of our time, thinking about how we can connect ourselves to the teachings, the Torah, the lives, and legacies of tzaddikim from earlier times, and of course, never to disconnect from the great Rabban Shel Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, Alav HaShalom.